Welcome to the TEFL Training Institute podcast, the bite-sized TEFL podcast for teachers, trainers, and managers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast.
This week, we're going to talk about racism.
Wow, that's a really sensitive topic.
Have you witnessed much racism when you were a teacher?
I don't think I experienced or witnessed a lot, but I definitely heard people talking about racism when I became a manager.
Yeah, me too. Mm. I did notice, at least when I was a teacher, for example, that a lot of schools I worked in, all the foreign teachers were white. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's only really since becoming a manager that I heard things like, for example, somewhere I used to work, I asked the person in charge of recruitment what our company's requirements were for hiring teachers. And the person said to me, teaching experience, not black.
Wow.
So I think today we can look at this from two different aspects. One aspect is we'll interview Asia Martin, who used to work in Shenzhen, about her experiences on the receiving end of racism.
Mm-hmm. And then the second part, and I'm going to basically interview you, Ross, and about your research paper and recently published in iTEFL about racism in teaching recruitment.
Hi, Asia. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm getting over a cold, so I may sound a little nasally.
Asia, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Asia Martin. It's been about 6 or so months since I last left China, and I had been there for about 2 years, working as an English teacher at a language center. I was stationed in Guangdong Province, China.
Do you want to start off by telling us, before you came to China, what were you expecting from the experience and how did that measure up to the reality?
Well, I did a bit of research. I had a friend, he was black and he had worked in China like a few years before I had even went. And so I asked him about his experience, and without me even asking, he did warn me. He just said, you know, just be mindful that some of the things that you might hear or see in regards to your skin color, he's like, is out of pure ignorance. You might be just the first person that they've ever seen close up. I said, okay. So I was like, well, what do you mean? And he told me this story about how he was out of school and he took a drink from a cup, and one of the Chinese girls walked up to him, who was a student, and said, teacher, your color didn't come off. And so when I got there and those things happened, I was open in the beginning. So when people were like asking, like, oh, can I touch your hair? It didn't bother me at first. It began to bother me, though, however, when certain individuals came up and were very negative about it and they did make comments. So then I no longer was as accepting. I began to kind of close up a little bit. You know, because I was more so prepared for accidental things, not people who purposely had an issue with my skin color.
So when I was working in training school, I got involved in those management meetings. I often heard sales staff, you know, talking about how much they prefer to have white teachers. And when I was education manager, that's what my general manager and also the sales manager basically told me very directly, because it's good for our sales. And I don't know, like, how have you ever noticed yourself being treated differently by sales staff?
I think it became very clear amongst the staff that there was like a slight hint of, I'm not sure if I would say that it's racism, but I would also say that it's a bit of colorism, because it's more so based on the paler you are, the farther you can go with selling to students. The racism did kind of come into play maybe with people watching me and not really wanting to get to know me as much maybe as teachers who were fair skinned.
How did what you noticed and what you experienced in China, how is it different to maybe what you'd experienced with regards to racism in the US?
Well, I think you really have to leave whatever you've learned about racism and intercultural interactions in your own home. Not all of it, because, you know, of course, a lot of things did kind of help me navigate being in China, of course, you know, common sense and things like that, and just common decency with people. But not everything that's happening in America is what's occurring in China. A lot of things that people said to me in the beginning, I was like, was that, were they trying to be racist? And then I found out, you know, no, it's more so colorism. They have a beauty standard that they have from, they don't even see me as a threat. You like, you know, in the US, a lot of times black gets kind of associated with being a threat. Whereas I did witness that in China, but it was more so just people were not really afraid of me. It was just kind of, they were just afraid of me as a foreigner. You just have to really go on with as open of a mind as you can and really listen to people when they're talking to you, and realize that the way they learned English is not necessarily how you learn English. A lot of times people use one word with you, you've already associated it as a negative word, but they have not learned it culturally as a negative word. They're not thinking like there's a cultural definition going on of how you understand the words that you're talking, you know, that you're speaking. And that plays a lot into it as well.
Can you tell us a bit more about the other foreign teachers that you work with and what their attitudes about this issue?
Yeah, I had to learn how to process a lot of things. And I think even my colleagues working with me, at first, there's, you know, as being the only black person in the office, people kind of just thought I was, you know, adding drama or, you know, where drama wasn't. And over time, it was interesting because when students would say certain things about black people, like, oh, black people steal, is what one another American teacher came to me and she said, I couldn't believe that the student said that. But in a way, I was somewhat kind of like, well, finally, you got a piece of evidence that proves that I'm not sitting up here making stuff up for the hell of it. And then, you know, once that kind of happened, I noticed people began to see like, oh, I'm not sitting up here making up stuff.
Do you have any advice then for anyone listening who might be working with someone who is on the receiving end of racism or maybe some other kind of discrimination, and they might be the only person going through that in the school? How do you think they'd be best? Like, should they leave that person alone or try and engage them or what?
In my personal experience, I think it's best to definitely not allow that person to be isolated, because when I felt isolated, meaning no one heard me, I definitely no longer felt like I could really share, because I was just being judged simply just for like expressing a negative incident that happened. Then I no longer really wanted to be a part of the team, because at that point it's like, you know, this is happening to me in the classroom and no one wants to really validate it. I think you just have to listen. You have to validate it. Don't argue with the person. It is okay to maybe ask questions about what exactly happened. And you can say like, oh, you know, I'm not quite sure if that's racism or not. You know, there are times where I get that people exaggerate stories, and I do understand that. And if it sounds like I'm using dramatic language, it's probably because it really hurt my feelings. But, you know, that's why you ask questions. You don't really try to call them a liar.
Like I mentioned earlier, I think a lot of decisions were made by management. I'm sure managers play a really important role, you know, in this topic. What about your managers? Like, did they help, and how did they help? And do you have any advice, you know, for those managers on this topic?
My first manager was quite open and supportive. He would give me examples of other teachers who was going through what I was going through. And so that actually was comforting to know that, you know, he had been through this as a manager in this office before. So he didn't see me as a problem. He was just kind of like, you know, here, you can go talk to this person. They went through the same thing that you went through and things like that. So that was helpful. My second manager, unfortunately, made it very clear that she did not like talking about race and thought that it was insignificant. At least that's how I felt, probably because of her attitude and the things that she would say in response to me talking about racial issues in the office. For example, if I said that is the student who would cause trouble in my classes and would say things about my race, and then in response, that particular manager would say, do you feel that that really is important right now? And so that kind of response kind of let me know, like, I'm not going to her about anything racial whatsoever. So I think managers cannot be afraid, especially when you're dealing with an employee who is dealing with racism. And if they're coming to you to talk about it, it's because they're feeling something about experiencing it in the office. Otherwise, they wouldn't say anything about it to you.
Asia, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate you sharing your experience on what's obviously a really difficult topic and some tough experiences. So thanks so much for doing that.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Russ, what made you want to do the research about racism in teaching recruitment?
So I guess two things. The first one was that a long time ago I read in Freakonomics about how people had researched racism in other fields using basically like a ethnic name, so a name which sounds ethnically black and a name which sounds ethnically white. And they use the two names and they put them on the top of very similar CVs or resumes, send them out to hundreds or thousands of companies, and then see how many, like which name gets the most replies. And from that, you can see how people are discriminating. So I read about that years ago. And then more recently, as a manager, kind of hearing or seeing more racism in terms of recruitment. And, you know, I spoke to friends about it and people said to me, oh, you know, if you think China's bad, Korea's worse. And I wondered, I wonder how bad it is, right? Like if you're white, how much more likely are you to be able to get a job than if you're black in TEFL?
So how did you start doing this survey? Like you sent out the CVs to different companies?
So I basically made two CVs. One had a photo of a white person at the top and one had a photo of a black person. And then I went on this job board website and applied for, so it was 100 jobs in China, 100 in Korea, and 50 in Europe. And I did fewer in Europe just because there were fewer jobs being posted for European countries.
Cool. So when you started applying for those jobs, so when you're kind of like started receiving responses from the different companies, is there anything that make you really surprised in this process?
Well, yeah, it was pretty surprising because I expected there to be a difference, but I wasn't expecting the differences to be this big as they were. So in Europe, the white teacher and the black teacher both got exactly the same number of responses. In Korea, the white teacher got 33% more positive responses than the black teacher. And in China, the white teacher got 64% more positive responses than the black teacher. So in other words, if the black teacher got applied and got 100 positive responses, the white teacher would have received 164.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
Absolutely.
So why do you think this happened?
I think what most people would assume is just that the recruiters are racist. But I actually found some research that said that it might not be the recruiters' racism. It's almost that recruiters are scared that parents and students are racist. The study this came from, they found that recruiters discriminated against black applicants when they applied for jobs for people who were facing customers. But they found that when black candidates applied for management jobs or jobs that were not customer facing, there was almost no discrimination at all. So I think that's also a possibility here that, you know, recruiters and schools are afraid that parents and students want white teachers.
Yeah, this week, and we actually have a discussion about a controversial topic. Obviously, like Ross and I, one is a white person and another one is Asian. I'm not the experts actually to talk about this topic. I really hope, you know, all this information that I would talk about and, you know, there is something might be useful for teachers and who are actually going through this.
Anyway, thanks very much for listening, everyone, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye. For more podcasts, videos, and blogs, visit our website www.tefltraininginstitute.com.
If you've got a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, leave us a comment.
And if you want to keep up to date with our latest content, add us on WeChat at TEFL Training Institute.
And if you enjoyed our podcast, please rate us on iTunes.